Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Once again, we say it's good to be back. Unexpected.
It is good to be back.
Hope everybody is being safe out there. Glad we were able to obviously get back in the studio today. You guys doing good?
Boss didn't let me rent a snowmobile.
No.
You know, I wanted to come in yesterday, but they said you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I'll do anything to get into work. I was shoveling my driveway at 7 o'clock at night, Sunday night. Mm-hmm. I was prepared to come into work.
Yeah.
But they said no dice.
You know? Offered to walk all the way from your house.
If that's what it takes.
Yeah, that's what it took. And they said no.
I was
going
to tie tennis rackets to my shoes.
Mm-hmm. They said no, man.
Make my own snowshoes. I was going to do whatever it took.
They said no. No, we obviously were off yesterday, and so many of you getting back into the swing of things today, making your way to work or whatever. I will say, first and foremost, though, whether you're in Overland Park, where I'm at, whatever city, whoever in MoDOT and KDOT, whoever's out there and been plowing for the last 24, 40, 72, I guess now, hours or so.
However long.
Props to you guys. I know Cam, one of our listeners, works for the city of Overland Park. I saw some of his videos out there. They did something funny. They did like starting lineups for their snowplow crew. I thought that was pretty funny. Like the Monday Night Football, like, you know, they do the intros with the quick 10-second video of like so-and-so from Miami, you know, University of Miami or whatever. They did that, but for their snowplow drivers, well done. Top-notch Overland Park.
That's great work.
So shout out to all of you that are still out there plowing and stuff, man.
It never ends, probably based on the amount of snow that is out there. So yes, thank you for making it possible for me to
get to work.
It was
the worst storm that, I mean.
Ugh, dude, it's a nightmare.
In the last, I mean, it's one of the all-time storms we've had in the city, but certainly since our adult life or whatever, it's other than the ice storm, which we referenced last week, the 02-03 ice storm, this is the worst one that I've seen in like my life since living in Kansas City. And it lived up to the hype too, you know?
Yeah, sometimes
hey, the meteorologists nailed this storm. Did they not? This one, they nailed. Everything they said was going to happen and basically all the amounts in the area of town I live, like they nailed all of it. So shout out to the meteorologists. They get a lot of heat sometimes for being wrong. They nailed this storm.
Look, I'm not going to stop being critical when they're way off, but they were on this one. They nailed it. Up until like even part of Saturday, I was like, is this really going to be all that bad? Mm-hmm. As you can imagine, I did not make my dinner reservation on
There's
Saturday.
No chance. Dude, so Saturday.
That guy canceled that. Real
they had
early.
To.
We just stayed home.
When the ice first started on Saturday, so I because my mom didn't want to drive in it or whatever, and I needed to actually go. So I had to go pick my dad up from somewhere, and I couldn't get to where I needed. I had to go through side streets there because the hill, and it's not even a big hill, I couldn't even see if I could make it up the hill because other cars were stopped and their wheels were spinning. And like it was just backed up traffic. You couldn't go anywhere. From about 3 to 5 on Saturday, especially if you were in the southern side, south side of Kansas City, it was a full on ice all over the roads. Bad timing. It froze much quicker than everybody thought. And hope everybody stayed safe out there. And it's going to take this snow. It's because it's going to be like a week and a half or 2 weeks before any of this snow is gone.
That might be optimistic. Those like Target size piles might be there for 2 months.
That's true. That kind of stuff is true. But
that was fine. I went out. I had to go out at like 3:30 or 4 on Saturday. And it was a disaster then. That was the last time I went. I did not go out the rest of Saturday. I did not go anywhere on Sunday. And I left the house for 10 minutes on Monday. Other than that, I did not leave the house. How often were you gone? I barely left.
Well, so at one point we were planning on coming in, obviously, on Monday, right? Yesterday to do our show and everything. And so because of that, as I've said on the show multiple times, like my car sits very low to the ground. It's like it handles snow, but not if there's 12 inches of snow. And so because of that, I wanted to have access to an SUV. And so I actually on Saturday made the decision, Cody. I ended up going to my parents' house on Saturday. I ended up staying there because I was like, hey, I only have to get out of one side street to get to a main road from their house. And I have access to an SUV if I need it.
And a snowblower.
And a snowblower. So I went there Saturday in case I needed to get here Monday morning.
So you just been living with your parents for the whole weekend?
Since Saturday.
When are you going back to your place?
Today, because I drove my small car to work today.
Okay.
But yeah,
I was like, you've just been living at your parents for a long weekend. I guess you got clothes. Fed.
I ate well. I ate very well. I didn't have to worry about that. All the talk about the snacks. I ate great. You know,
I didn't even eat those mozzarella sticks.
There's a mattress in the basement. I stayed down there. The dog enjoyed it because there was access to the yard. So it ended up being all right, but I'm ready to, and it's good enough now. Or again, I drove to work. So I'll go home. I'll grab my dog and we'll go back to normal routine.
Go back to home.
Yeah, that's right.
Drew, you didn't stay. Yeah, I guess your parents live in town. You didn't stay at somebody else's house all weekend in the snow looking desperately for a place, it appears. So good for you. I stayed at my place. I just didn't leave my place.
Is your kids, like, are they big into the going outside? Like, some kids are like, I don't want to mess with this. Other kids are like, oh, yeah, I can't wait till you run outside.
So I was the outside kid. I took my kids. We live in a big hill, so we just go sledding off the front porch a lot. We did that multiple times. The first day, all the snow's out there, hadn't even really built up. Like halfway through Sunday, we were already sledding and playing outside. They wanted hot cocoa, so we came inside. They never went back out in the snow. Yesterday, their good friend and the parents who we're friends with sent us a text saying, hey, what are you guys up to? It's like 3 p.m. Hey, what are you guys up to? Do you guys want to go sledding together with our daughter? And I got the kids and I'm like, hey, they're asking if you guys, and look, truth is, I don't want to go sledding all that bad. I've been sledding enough times in my life. I'm fine. But they're like, hey, they want to see if you guys want to go sledding. And they both looked at me and said, nah, it's too cold. We're fine. And then went back in there.
Wow.
They went back into their like footy pajamas and under a blanket. They're like, no, we're fine. Thanks. So they turned down sledding the rest of the day. They were done. So no, my kids were not big sledders. They did a little, but not a lot.
913-586-7965. That's the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. A lot of you texting in kind of what you did the last couple of days. And a lot of you, again, thanks to those that had to work, right? Had to work, emergency personnel, whatever, law enforcement, air traffic controller, someone says here. Worked Sunday evening and all day yesterday. Unfortunately, snow on the ground doesn't stop planes in the sky. Someone else says that.
Stop the Chiefs plane for a little while.
Yeah, I know someone said they're a snowplow driver for Liberty. I'm not sure what day it is. Oh, man, I can't even imagine.
Do they just have you on like 16-hour shifts and then they let you sleep for 8 and then right back?
Amount of hours, I'm sure they've
played. I hope you get like a Scrooge McDuck-sized pool of gold coins at the end of this thing. Like, I hope the pay is just nuts if you're going to have to be out there plowing for like 16 consecutive hours in the middle of it. We obviously missed the show yesterday, which means we didn't get to talk about the early playoff path for the Chiefs, which, look, we know the four teams. We know the most likely scenario, but we know the four teams it could possibly be for Kansas City, which is, of course, Denver again, the Chargers again, the Texans again. It's a lot of the same teams that you would, and then who am I missing?
Chargers,
Steelers, I think maybe I missed. Whatever.
Yeah.
So the Steelers is the final possible playoff team. I'll be honest. I don't want to take anything away from the game on Sunday because they obviously showed up with no intent of taking this game seriously. And so I choose to not take this seriously. If you had told me before the season started, knowing what I knew about the AFC, that those were the four possible playoff teams the Chiefs would face, I'd take it. I'd still take it. That is not that bad of a matchup to host the Arrowhead Invitational for the fourth straight time. There are some I would prefer over others, but you got two teams that you are 3-1 against total, 3-0-1, if you just want to call, or 3-0 with a nothing against the Denver game. Steelers team that you kicked, I almost said a bad word, you kicked the hell out of. That's not the right way, but, you know, you beat up pretty bad. And then a Texans team who is worse than you and maybe the worst of the four playoff teams. This, as I had said a couple weeks ago, is lining up to be the easiest possible path they could have had in the postseason.
The path,
I mean, it's not easy, but it's the easiest possible.
Well, it sets up to where you look at Baltimore, barring an upset. Baltimore would, we all think, end up playing the divisional round game at Buffalo, and the Chiefs would avoid having to play both of those teams. That's why. No, upsets happen. You never know. I'm not confident that that Denver's going into Buffalo on Sunday and going to get that win. I'm not really confident that Pittsburgh's going to go beat Baltimore based on what we've seen from the Steelers as of late. So it looks like the Chiefs will face off with the winner of the Texans-Chargers game. That's what it looks like. If there's no upsets, they'll play the winner of the 4-5 game. And yeah, that's not daunting. I think if we're saying like who's more dangerous out of that group, I would be less likely interested in playing the Chargers again than I would the Texans.
That's because the quarterback, isn't it?
It's the quarterback, but also Harbaugh and his style. They can make it an ugly defensive battle type of game. I don't think the Texans just have the personnel this year to get it done. We talked about going into the Texans game even. I don't think the Texans are that good of a football team. I think they're a very, very average team, and they've also had so many injuries that have caught up to them. Whereas the Chargers are starting to get healthier. Harbaugh is going to have a good game plan. I have no doubt in my mind with that. So, I mean, I think the Chargers are going to go down to Houston and win, and I think most likely the Chiefs are going to be playing the Chargers divisional round weekend. I hope that's not the case. I would love the Steelers to upset the Ravens or something like that. Can I say one thing, though? It's related to this.
Sure.
Just out of the gate, just because we didn't get to it yesterday, and it would have been a little fresher yesterday. You said, hey, you're not going to put much stock in Sunday's game, and I'm 100% with you. The Chiefs, one more time, reminder for those specifically nationally and in Cincinnati, I guess. The Chiefs did not owe any of you a damn thing on Sunday. The Eagles rested their starters. The Rams rested their starters.
I don't know how you
handle the Bills
it.
Rested their starters except for one snap to make sure Josh Allen got his consecutive game streak or whatever the hell it was.
Consecutive starts.
Sure. Yeah. They didn't owe anybody anything else. Their job is to be healthy and prepared to win a third straight Super Bowl, not help out the team that may have lost to the Patriots earlier in the year and performed like crap in September for the fourth straight year under their head coach. They didn't owe you anything. Why are we judging the Chiefs differently in them resting their starters than anybody else? This isn't a new concept. Have we lost our minds? Is that what the Chiefs derangement syndrome as another side effect outside of Kansas City? Why are we judging anybody for resting their players the final week of the season? This happens every year. Every year.
Because it screwed over the team that everybody else wanted, and that's why.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, then, no offense. I sent out a box score, and I stand by this. The Bengals this season once lost to the Patriots 16-10.
Correct.
They wouldn't even have had to have
they did it
Denver
to themselves.
Win this game. This is your own doing, Cincinnati. You could have won. They won four games in September, October, and November. Do you just want to, like, maybe try to be a mediocre football team sometime in the first 3 months? Joe Burrow played all 17 games this year, and they could only manage nine wins. That's not on the Chiefs. Chiefs don't owe it to anybody. I don't think they were doing it to stick it to Cincinnati. They just didn't owe them anything to save them.
They also had a vanilla game plan because there is a scenario. I don't think it's going to happen. But if the Broncos were to upset the Bills, the Chiefs would be turning around and playing the Denver Broncos in 2 weeks. That's another factor. The opponent they were playing on Sunday is one that they might. This is just shouldn't even be that complicated. Nobody wants to take responsibility for them not handling their business. And I'll particular point out September with Cincinnati and the ongoing struggles. So, yeah, like I'm not saying Cincinnati fans should be happy they're out of the playoffs. Of course not. But this idea like the Chiefs owed you a damn thing is so weird. It's so bizarre. And I don't know, Drew, I don't know if you're saying that, but there's a huge chunk of Cincinnati fans and national media. Like, we lost our minds.
They shouldn't have just let it in. And they also pretend like because it's the 17 weeks that makes a difference. In the history of my time watching football, the Chiefs, had there not been an 18 game, they would have also still clinched it. And Cincinnati still would have lost out. They would have just clinched it a week earlier. It doesn't, like, it's pretending like in a 17 game or in a 17 week schedule, 16 game schedule, that teams didn't sit their starters the final week of the regular season. It used to occur all the time. It was like it was like Chris Broussard, everyone it's not fair. I'm like, I'm sorry, Cincinnati. You know what's not fair?
I was not one of those people, by the way. I was not.
That's a good thing to get on the record.
I appreciate that.
At least being reasonable enough to be like, they don't owe you anything. And you get the win on Saturday, even though it's a bit of a sweat. The Jets did you the favor, and the Chiefs didn't even give you a tiny sliver of hope.
That game got to 14-0 so fast, I was like, yeah, this game's over.
Yeah, dude.
Good night. It was a fun season while it lasted.
It was nuts. And so, like, it just, like, so silly that that became a national narrative, that for some reason the Chiefs owed a 9-8 team a chance
to
get into the postseason.
And now
because they sleptwalked through 3 months of the season.
And now the next 3 weeks, the Bengals are sitting their starters, too. So, I mean, it's kind of weird how that all works out.
They're resting for.
Yeah.
I mean, do you realize it's been, like, 800 days since Cincinnati beat the Chiefs? Like, the Chiefs have won more Super Bowls than the Bengals have made the playoffs the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. That is a team to not be taken seriously until they prove to be taken seriously again. They used to be the single biggest threat for Kansas City because Burrow played his best games against them. They're not. The Bills remain the single biggest threat to Kansas City, or the Ravens if you're big on them or whatever else. And the whole resting the starters part, This week in the NFL made it very obvious why that was important. Did you see what happened? Jordan Love hurt his elbow. They lost a starting wide receiver for the rest of the year. Zay Flowers is hurt. Mm-hmm. Do I need to go on? That is just a few of the very... Detroit lost another starter. Kansas City put all their eggs in the earlier part of the regular season basket. So that by the time this came, they got to take a month off. They got to take 4 weeks off. Because the alternative was... Had they needed the final game is they wouldn't even gotten a single week off. They had to play in the wild card game. They'd had to play 15 straight weeks or something based on their bye. They needed this. And now Patrick Mahomes gets to witness the birth of his kid. As a result of it, you don't have to worry about it. I think she's being induced today. Is that what they said? Or
I
tomorrow?
Was next Monday, but I could be wrong.
Maybe it's next Monday. Sometime here soon.
Congratulations to them.
Whenever that does occur. But it's like they played for this. Cincinnati should have fought harder in the earlier part of the season if they wanted to be in the playoffs. They let Denver in.
It was quite a journey all year, Drew. You know, we had some fun back and forth.
You guys had a chance there.
Chances and chances. I told you, you got your hopes up, and all it did was cost you draft position. Now you're picking like 17th or 18th in the draft.
It honestly doesn't matter. It's okay. They're going to figure it out. Because they're
going to figure it out.
They're going to pay T. Higgins. They're going to pay Jamar Chase.
They fired your DC. They fired DC that I was told 2 years ago was the mastermind, that he had Mahomes' number.
I think he still does, but that's the only number he has.
Their defensive coordinator should get a head coaching gig and all this, and then they ran him out of town. I didn't know Lou Anarumo was the problem for September games. All those one-win Septembers and winless Septembers. Not Zach Taylor.
Hang on.
No, it was Lou Anarumo.
Zach Taylor's the reason why they even had a shot in the playoffs, I think, to begin with, because the offense was so good.
Mm-hmm. What about September?
It's really hard for you to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs when you're 2-15 because you can't game plan for anybody else. Mm. You know, I think that's the problem with the Bengals. Like, hey, he's got Mahomes' number more than anybody else, but he doesn't have anybody else's number.
The Chiefs should hire him opponents, I should say, the Chiefs are going to face should hire him as a consultant. Like, if I'm the Texans or... Yeah, not as a defense coordinator, Drew, as a consultant. If they were to hire Lou Anarumo, because I'm told he's the genius that can stop Patrick Mahomes. So if I'm the Bills, if I'm the Bills, I should hire him as a consultant. He can stop Mahomes. I'm told that he's the only guy that can stop Mahomes. So
it's actually not the worst strategy. But you know, the Bills' problem is getting past Mahomes, and we understand that some people like Spags always had Tom Brady's number or anybody else, right? Sometimes people just kind of get you. I would argue that guy maybe kind of had a number on the Chiefs a couple of times. Although, again, they haven't beaten them in like 2 years, 3 years. Well, I don't know. It's been a long time since Cincinnati.
Lost three in a row. They've lost three in a row. But so it's nice to not see them in the playoffs. Sorry, Drew. Very nice not to see them because we're so afraid. That's what it is. The Chiefs were also,
you guys were scared.
The Chiefs were also afraid of them, I guess, last year when they sat their starters, last year when the Bengals were already eliminated.
Same argument applies.
Mm-hmm. They laid down.
Yeah, well, they did.
They laid down.
And I would have been fine if Cincinnati made the postseason because it would have been either the Buffalo Bills were eliminated.
That's right.
Or nothing changed, and the Bills move on to the second round. I feel the same way now. Go Denver. Go Broncos.
Absolutely.
You know, what do I care? Sure. Knock out Buffalo. Be like, but then they would have beaten Buffalo. Aren't you afraid? I feel fine.
Yeah, I would love to see I think Bo Nix is trying to become the 11th or 12th rookie quarterback to win his first playoff game. Mm-hmm. Be a hell of a win if they go to Buffalo and get that done. I'm not counting on it, but as you said, that would be a great surprise.
I actually put that as the least likely upset of the entire wild card weekend.
I think that's probably
We'll probably do that ranking later on in the week, but I'll just be honest with you. If you made me, I'm going to guess that's the least likely one to occur.
Coming up in 10 minutes, Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider, is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the final week of the regular season, the playoff bracket that's set, including what are his Jets going to do. And also the rumors that are out there, and yesterday was Black Monday in the NFL, multiple firings. We know Doug Peterson, no longer the head coach of the Jags. They still have their current GM intact, Trent Baalke, who continues to have an unbelievable talent and skill of retaining his job while his coaches he hired continue to get fired. It's kind of amazing how he keeps doing that. But maybe he'll keep his job. The openings, Saints, Jets, Bears, Jags, Patriots. The Raiders still have not fired Alec Pierce. He's still their head coach.
Antonio Pierce.
Alec Pierce. I'm thinking of the wide receiver for the Colts.
That's fine. Yeah. Antonio, same quality of coach. I can't believe they haven't fired Antonio Pierce, so we can get to them in a minute. Of those jobs, the Bears is by far the most attractive. The Saints are in cap hell, and Derek Carr's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets have a terrible owner, and they're not going anywhere. The Jags, Trent Baalke would survive a nuclear holocaust at this point. I can't believe he gets to keep his job. It's crazy.
I still think depending on the coach, that
coaches won't take the job because he's still employed.
That's why I don't know if he should feel great this morning. I think if depending on the head coach they can get, if they can get a Ben Johnson or somebody, I could see them still saying, sorry, Trent, we changed our mind. You're fired. I don't know if it's 100% certain he keeps his job or not. I think it's clear, though, on the list. You said it's the Bears. Bears and Patriots are easily the two best opportunities
here. If you're
here.
A May guy, Patriots makes a lot of sense. Well, their ownership usually gets pretty good credit for being, but they just fired a guy after 1 year.
Yeah.
They gave him no chance.
Patriots have a top pick, ton of cap space, and Drake May looks like the real deal, right?
Did they fire him for losing the number one overall pick?
You heard the press conference yesterday. Robert Kraft took full blame. He said he put him in an untenable situation. He took all this blame, which I'm just like, well, then why are you firing him after 1 year? Although it did not look good for May. Like, there were a lot of signs. It did not look good. Some of the comments he would make publicly
seemed
about
like
his team.
He didn't have a good handle on it.
And his team.
Bill Belichick disciple who tried to do a Bill Belichick's way, and it doesn't work.
Maybe so. But I think there's a case that the Patriots, you could say, is the best opening. But Chicago, the same thing applies to why we thought last year they should have moved on from their coaching staff then. You have a young quarterback. You can still save him before you break him in Caleb Williams. You still have talent on that team. The issue there is just that division is brutal. We just saw the Vikings win 14 games and have to go on the road for the playoffs now. Like, that's just a brutal division. The Jags, the division sucks. That's why. Like, I know you're kind of out on Trevor Lawrence, but that division is so bad, man.
I don't know if I was on Trevor Lawrence, but
That division is so bad that Brian Thomas, wide receiver, looks like a top 10 wide receiver in this league. So you got him, Trevor Lawrence, at minimum.
Maybe just being held back.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I'd listen to the Jags, but Khan has not been a good owner. And he's been running through. They have like the second worst record over the last 5 or 6 years. And they have a number one drafted quarterback who you're stuck with. So, I mean, you got to be a big Lawrence guy. And I think there are a lot of NFL people who are. Maybe the Jags. I just don't like Khan. I don't like Khan as an owner.
Well,
I got to play overseas 5 times a year. It's just like there's some challenges in that I don't think are all surface level.
Khan was doing his he was doing a presser and had Balky in there with him and was asked if he would consider any changes to the front office. And with Balky in the interview, said, if a head coach comes in and has a better idea, then I think that's something we're going to have to go with. And Balky's just right there in the interview. So such an awkward
lucky
moment.
He's lucky he still has a job today. Yeah,
100%.
So that's the ownership part of it. It's like, this guy is, I don't think I would want to work for a person who is so stupid he can't let go of Balky. Or so, like, what do you see, man? Can you explain? Because to the rest of us, he's been running the worst organization in the NFL for like a billion years now. And he's just like loyal beyond a fault. Yeah, it's a loyalty is good. Loyalty to that degree is a challenge. You're right on the Bears, I'll say, which is having to enter that division is probably a nightmare. And you also were stuck with Caleb Williams, and you got to prove that you could.
There's just a reason why some organizations stay bad, man. And usually it starts at ownership. And if not, it's somebody that's refusing to get rid of a GM. But like that's the ownership is the problem in Chicago. The ownership's the problem in New York with both teams, Giants and Jets. And then look what happened today in Tennessee. For those that don't know, the Titans fired their general manager after 2 years. Remember a year ago, they fired Mike Vrabel and chose to keep the general manager so he could hire a new head coach. So they turn around this year and they fire the GM and keep the head coach that the GM that you kept for one more year hired.
Mm-hmm.
So you lost Mike Vrabel, who's going to be the hottest coaching name this offseason, it looks like, other than Ben Johnson. And the guy that you kept because you chose him over Vrabel, you just fired a year later anyway. That is why teams stink for a long time.
Here are who the Jags, by the way, Adam Schefter just sent out who their interview requests are. Kellen Moore, Todd Monken, Joe Brady, Liam Cohen, Ben Johnson. Liam Cohen's the Bucks offensive coordinator. Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, Patrick Graham, and Robert Saleh.
Well, every single team just interviews anybody. If in the last decade, if you were anywhere near a coaching staff, you get an interview. The Jets are doing it. The Bears are doing it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And there's some interesting names there, like Ben Johnson is in Vrabel. Vrabel's not on that list yet, but there'll be somebody or two out of this group that ends up keeping their job for a long time. But you know how this is. Most of these hirings, man, these guys are with the team for 2 or 3 years and they're fired. You're with the team for 2 or 3 years and you're fired. That's usually how this stuff goes. Robert Saleh getting an interview is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Also, the Bears are trying to interview the Cowboys' current head coach.
Yeah, the Jets are interviewing Arthur Smith, who's now the OC in Pittsburgh. Like, again,
old boys club, dude.
It's unreal.
It's like Mike McCarthy and Arthur Smith were doing this again. Think one person outside the box. Can you find me one person outside the box?
I know it's easy to pick on McCarthy. putting Mike McCarthy in the same breath as Arthur Smith is so much, so disrespectful to Mike McCarthy.
So, he is Mike a Super Bowl winner.
I know people out there. Mike McCarthy's won a ring. He also did find a way to magically win some games with Cooper Rush this year, and it looks like there's a chance he's going to keep his job in Dallas.
He's the coaching version of Kirk Cousins.
Okay,
he's so mediocre. Mm. He's so perfectly average, and in a good year, he like sneaks into that top 10 for a little bit. So he's an easy punching bag, and you're right. He is not. He's not Nathaniel Hackett or Arthur Smith. I'm not trying to put him in that grouping, but still, it's.
I
wouldn't let him be my head coach.
7-10 this year, but he was 12-5 three straight years prior. Like he at a lot of the names you just listed off, he's far and away still the better coach.
He's a stabilizing head coach. If I'm aiming for the stars, if I got Caleb Williams, if I'm the Titans and I think I'm not going to take a quarterback number one overall, or if I'm some of these other teams and I think I want to just like,
I'm not advocating the Bears stabilize. To hire him. No, I'm not advocating the Bears to hire McCarthy. I've been on the Ben Johnson, Chicago makes too much sense thing since September. I mean, like it's pretty obvious. Sense. Like that seems like the most obvious choice at this point. If Ben Johnson is willing to actually take a head coaching gig and leave Detroit, his defensive coordinator in Detroit, Aaron Glenn's getting a bunch of interviews again. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Vrabel is going to be hired by the end of the week though. I think Mike Vrabel will be the head coach of the Patriots.
I think
the
next 48 hours, yeah.
I think Mike Vrabel is going to be the next head coach of the Patriots.
It seems like they fired Mayo so they could get that Vrabel interview in before he got hired by somebody else. Yep. Isn't that what it felt like? That's another good stabilizing head coach, I'll say. Like, if you hire Vrabel, you are not going to be a laughingstock organization, which is what the Jets have been or the Patriots have been for the last few years. So, like, hiring him makes sense. But I still worry about ceiling sometimes.
It's going to turn out to be a good thing for Mike Vrabel in a way that he got fired a year ago. He got out of that terrible Tennessee organization, clearly with how they operate, and now he's going to be the head coach of either the Patriots or maybe Chicago. And it's like, think about, he was dealing with Will Levis for a couple years. Mm-hmm. Now he's potentially going to have Drake May, or maybe he gets Caleb Williams or whatever. Like, it sucked to get fired. He still got paid. And now he's going to end up in a much better situation by waiting a year like he did. It'll end up being the best thing for Mike Vrabel. Up next, let's talk more about the NFL, the coaching circle that continues, the carousel that continues, I should say, plus the playoff picture with our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
No, next.
He's had songs written about him without asking for it.
Pasquantino, I want it. Now it's time for Pasquantino.
Mythological creatures and sandwiches have been named after him.
Mmm, beefy and Italian.
And he also thought the Devontae Adams trade was going to save the Jets.
The damn Jets.
Welcome back to the show, our Vin FL insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Well, Vinny, the mess of the 2024 season for the Jets is officially in the rearview mirror. Now there's hope. There you can look to the future again.
Yeah, that's right. And I am, as I always do. I'm ever the positive person, whatever the word.
Like, it's eternal not, optimist.
The optimist.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm forever the optimist when it comes to the New York Jets, and I'm very excited about the future of what's going to happen in Florham Park, New Jersey.
Who do you want? Who's your head coaching candidate of choice?
It doesn't matter who I want because I don't really know because I don't know. Probably Vrabel.
I mean, that's a stabilizing force. You got to like that.
Probably Vrabel. Maybe Brian Flores. Like, I just want somebody who's going to – I just don't want to see a bunch of penalties. If you're going to lose, lose. Just get beat. Don't beat yourselves. That's all I want.
Play clean football. That's what it sounds like you're going for.
Clean football. That's all I ask. Clean football, and I'll be happy.
Before we get to the rest of the matchups, I do want to ask you, you had sent out a tweet yesterday, Michael Lorenzen, back with the Royals. He was the fantasy football team champion?
The guillotine fantasy champion, which is the league that ended up being the most cared about, at least in my opinion, because my team was better in it. Kyle Wright was the Kyle Wright was the winner of the big league, so congratulations to him. Two pitchers, which sucks for everybody.
Mm-hmm. They got more time, dude.
Yeah, it just sucks. But I texted Lorenzen yesterday in the group, and I just said you couldn't get it was his first year playing, which is the worst part. So he had to come back really to defend his crown, and we're excited to have him back.
Do you guys have a trophy?
No trophy, because the amount of money that he won will be more than enough than a trophy. He'll take the money instead of a trophy.
I kind of want to ask how much money, but the way you said that,
that's an off-air thing. I don't think that's an on-air dollar.
Curious,
I don't think it's an on-air dollar amount. Let's put it this way, Cody, you and I probably can't get in the league for financial reasons, and just Vinny's never going to have us in the league. It's a baseball player thing.
I mean, it's really not that much. Like, it's not like life changing, but it's good money. It's solid money.
If you guys ever have, like, it's 24 hours before the draft and you got nobody else on the team will do it, can I be in then?
Yeah, sure.
Sounds like that's not gonna be the case.
There are ways to work around that, as in like getting the staff involved or anything like that. But yeah, I'll put you on the short list.
Okay. Yeah. I can be behind members of the organization or something. That's fine.
Yeah. There you go.
Last question I want to ask you before we get to football. Yesterday, I saw some news that Brent Rooker got a new contract from the A's. I thought you guys were boys. Were you happy for Brent?
Very happy. We work out together. Well, kind of. He lives in Memphis now, but we hit at the same place. We have the same agent. So big day for the agency. There's been a lot of positive talk in the agency this morning. There's probably 15 of us here this morning. Our agent got a round of applause when he showed up this morning after a late night, I guess, on the phone. Happy for Rooker. It's good for the A's. You know, they're investing in players, which is really cool. And I know he's pumped about it. So he's on the West Coast right now. He's actually out in Sacramento. So I don't think he's woken up yet, but I'm sure his phone is blowing up as we speak. Really happy for him.
What do you think that's going to be like for you at some point next year? You guys will play out in Sacramento, and then I guess the Rays are playing at a minor league or a spring training facility because of, unfortunately, Tropicana. So what's that like for a big league player? You guys are playing in technically what, two minor league parks next year, basically?
We actually finish out on the West Coast next year. I think we finish with Sacramento, then Anaheim, or it's Anaheim and Sacramento.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously, hopefully we're clinched by then, but you know, we might clinch in Sacramento, which would be interesting, just locker room wise. I've never been there, but
can't be normal.
Probably not normal. But yeah, I don't know. The Steinbrenner Field down in Florida it's really nice. Like, I've played there before. I played there in high school, I believe. Haven't been there since. I don't know if they've done any renovations or anything, but that stadium's pretty nice. I mean, that's as close to a big league park as you can get from a spring training stadium. So that'll be fine. We joke, Brandon Lau is here as well. He's making like 10 this year or something like that. And the Yankees are on the payroll for like 15 million. So we always get the joke with him that he's the second highest paid player on the Rays behind the Yankees.
Now that Brent Rooker got his deal, now you can tell your agent to get to work, you know, say, hey, you know, there's other people who need contracts eventually, you know,
he's a busy man. So arbitration's about to happen. There's a bunch of guys, you know, he's got to lock in. I'm glad he got that deal done for Rooker. Now he's got to lock in with arbitration.
We're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. We already got your thought on the Jets, maybe Vrabel or somebody like that you would like to see as the next head coach of the Jets. What job, honestly, do you think is the best of the group that's open right now? Saints, Jets, Bears, Jags, Patriots. What's the best situation you think to walk into?
Probably whoever's got the quarterback. So Patriots, Jaguars, Bears. You might have Aaron Rodgers in New York, Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't know. I think the Saints is probably the worst job. That's probably the easiest one to answer. They have like, what, $100 million in negative cap.
Stuck with Derek Carr, yeah.
That feels like it's got first-time head coach written all over it. Probably the Patriots. Seems like they've got pretty stable ownership. I say that, and they fired Gerard Mayo after 1 year.
Yeah.
Which I personally don't love, but, you know, I don't really know who's the best job. I think there's only 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL. All of them are pretty good.
I mean, it's not that bad. It's not bad. No job's bad, certainly, but I don't know, man. Like, the more I look around, it's like you got to at least feel like you either have a quarterback or have a chance at a quarterback. I guess that's the question I'd have about the Jets, Vinny, is are they going to go the veteran route like some of these other teams have had success, like Baker or Sam Darnold? Or do they try to, like, find magic in a quarterback in the middle of the first round in what is not a particularly good first, you know, quarterback draft?
I don't know. It's so tricky because it can happen from any spot in the draft, right? Like, I mean, you look at Purdy, he's been pretty good. I think development's huge, like knowing what you're looking for. How's it going to match your scheme? How's the communication going to be? How's the personalities going to match? I think there's just way more to it than the talent of a player. And I think you look at the best teams in the league, they've got stability at the head coaching spot, the GM spot, and the quarterback spot. And I think that's what every team's trying to look for right now, but it's just really hard to do, obviously.
Vinny, when you look at the bracket this weekend, let's start talking about some of these games individual. Let's start upset of the matchups this weekend. Where's the matchup where you're like, I think that team might get the better of the higher seeded team or the team favored in the game, you know, the upset pick?
I think the obvious one in my mind is the Steelers beating the Ravens, even though the Steelers haven't looked very good at all. But Lamar doesn't typically, I know he did the last time they played, but typically doesn't play well against them, and it's a playoff game. So two things working against Lamar there. I don't know. That feels like the obvious one to me. I don't know what Vegas has on the lines of the game, so I don't know what would be upsets or not. I'm trying to think. I think the Chargers are going to beat the Texans. I think the Ravens are going to beat the Steelers, but I think the Steelers could beat them. I think the Bills are going to beat the Broncos. I think the Eagles-Packers game is going to be really good. I think the Buccaneers are going to beat the Commanders because here's my hot take. What they did for Mike Evans to get him that $3.5 million or whatever it was, all vibes.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The vibes are immaculate in Tampa right now, and I think they're going to win their first-round game. And then the Monday night game, who's that game?
Vikings-Rams.
Ooh, man, what a game. The Sam Darnold, like, legacy game. I don't know. I think the Vikings win that game. Those are my picks for the week.
I don't think it's crazy. I'd normally ask you power rankings, but now that we're in the playoffs, power rankings don't matter, you know?
I mean, it doesn't matter at all. The Lions are a wagon, huh? They just keep winning games.
They needed that bye week so badly based off of just their end. Like, the fact that they got the number one seed and found a way to win on that Sunday night game was just so massive for them. Because I think, Vinny, if they would have lost to the Vikings and still would have been dealing without a bye week since week five, and then they would have had to go to L.A., I would have been taking the Rams to beat the Lions.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. They just, like, Jahmyr Gibbs, unreal, huh? That guy can run a football.
Kudos.
It's impressive to watch him play.
Where, by the way, do you think that this is always the question that happens in other sports? They were talking about it. Do you think there's any baseball players who could play in the NFL?
With how little I know about football, I really don't know. But, like, so, okay, what is speed, I guess, would be my answer. Like, Bobby's the fastest player in baseball, right? But how fast is he with pads on? Because I'm sure that matters a little bit. That's what I'd like to know. Like, what's his maybe I'll call him. What's your 40 time, Bob? I know he played like slot receiver or something in high school, but I just don't. I'm sure, like,
he's such a good athlete. I feel like he'd find
somebody.
A way. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure there's some, but that's such a tough, like, because then if I was another baseball player on here, I'd be like, oh, nobody could play baseball. Like, I'm sure somebody could. It's a skill sport. I'm sure if they train the skill for 20 years, like all of us do, I'm sure they could, do it. So I don't know. I don't have an answer for that question.
I'm just asking. When you look at the other side for the Chiefs game, did you take any stock into what happened on Sunday?
I didn't even see the game. Like, I didn't see one play.
You didn't miss anything.
Game. So, no, I take zero stock in it. What are they? It's the team they might play in the first round for them. Yeah, we're going to put a lot of stuff on tape and show them what we want to do. I think that was just irrelevant to what the playoff games is going to look like.
I just don't think it, like, I look back at all the injuries that took place in the final week, and I think this is exactly why the Chiefs didn't take this game serious. Why risk any person getting injured?
Yeah, no, there's no need to risk it. Especially, like DeAndre Hopkins played, right, because he had an incentive. Like, I get that.
He barely played. He was active, but he really didn't play, yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter at all. More rest for them. Get ready to go for the playoffs.
I do think that, like, as a teammate, that feels like something that everybody enjoy. Like, when I watch that Mike Evans moment, as, like, a professional athlete, Vinny, that feels like something you can relate to. Like, everybody knows that man needs 5 yards to get $3 million. I imagine if you're on a unit and you know somebody needs 10 more at bats the rest of the way. Internally, that's got to be a big celebration when someone gets a bonus like that.
100%. And also, I saw people being like, oh, the Saints should have put 11 guys on Mike Evans. Those players don't care.
Like, they don't care to stop Mike Evans there.
They're not going to let him get that yard or those yards, but if he gets those yards, it's like, sick, this guy just got $3.5 million.
I'm just trying to think of the baseball equivalent. I know there's incentives all the time in baseball contracts, but in that circumstance, it was one play. Everybody knew they were going to get the ball to Mike Evans. Is there even a baseball, like, if we just knew, like, also it was a nice $3 million incentive too. It wasn't jump change. We're talking about $3 million for 5 yards or whatever.
Like, if you were just going to get a single, does somebody just let the get to the cap?
Dude. Like, we know Vinny needs one more home run for $2.5 million. I mean, that'd be crazy.
It would have to be something like at bats. And it's like, okay, you need 3 at bats to get this amount of money. And it would be like, okay, the other manager intentionally walks you 3 times so you don't get the at bat. Like, that's what it would be like.
Oh,
God, that'd be ice cold. I just don't think they do that. I don't think I don't think other players hate other players enough for that.
Well, you got to remember, there's a difference between front office and like on field personnel. Like,
sure.
Like, there are rivalries and hatred and things like that. Like, I want to beat the other guys, you know, like, badly, but that's not me. Like, I don't know. There's just like, there's a respect thing about it where it's like, I'm not going to do everything in my power to make sure you don't make money.
Yeah. It's also like we're talking about the difference between players and management, right?
Yeah.
Between like workers 100%. And management. Management might try to prevent
you,
it, but
I'm not going to like let you hit your incentive on purpose, but I'm going to play the game. And I'm not going to do everything in my power to make sure you don't. Like, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you just don't catch the ball in general, not because of the money. If that makes sense, I don't know.
We're totally. Not going to quadruple. Vinny gets a hit, he gets $3 million. We're not going to walk you so you can't get the hit.
Yeah, we're going to play the game. It was like kind of when Shohei had that opportunity to go for 50 or whatever, and instead of intentionally walking him, they pitched to him. It's like, just of respect to the game, they're going to pitch to him.
Lastly, before we let you go, we asked for wild card weekend predictions. We know the entire playoff field. Who's the AFC-NFC matchup in the title game?
I mean, it's the 2-1 seats. That's who I'm going with. I'm a simple man. Give me the Chiefs, give me the Lions, and let's go to New Orleans.
There you go.
I also saw you tweeting about wrestling last night. You going to WrestleMania?
No, but I'm going to... Actually, I can't talk about this right now.
mystery.
All right.
I have intrigue. No comment.
Okay, no comment.
I don't know if you're watching the Netflix. Was it on Raw now, or Raw's on Netflix now, or something like that last night?
Yeah, I watched it last night for fun.
Okay. Mysterious. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's a tease for next week. Can you eventually tell us?
Yeah, I'll text you.
Okay. All right, there you go. Thanks, Vinny. Appreciate it.
Right,
there's our NFL insider. Vinny Pasquantino. Okay.
I wasn't, you know, I'm trying to get too many secrets today. I want to know how much money they're playing for. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that I was asking a secret question there, but apparently I was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Got to be real interesting. Careful. Royals had an interesting week.
Yeah,
they
couple
had
of
like
nice
Lorenzen
little
and Biggio. It's like, they're like roster fill moves, but didn't both of those feel like moves so that if you want to, you can make other moves? I'm always for another guy who can start and offer a safety net. Exactly like Lorenzen did. He did good for the Royals last year. He could be a reliever. He could be a starter. You get choices. Biggio feels like the super utility. So now all of a sudden, everybody just plays left field. We have too many second basemen. It's okay right now. Or Mikel at third. Like, that seems like it's in flux again. They all feel like precursor moves to me. Good moves, but moves before moves.
So like you, I still believe there's a trade to come before the start of the season. But also, I think we saw how this played out. Was it last Thursday or Friday? We briefly mentioned that Rojas or whatever had signed a deal with, was it Chicago? I don't know. He was a name that was mentioned here. I don't know. He was a guy that maybe could fill in a spot. He signed somewhere else. So then naturally you move down the list. Biggio's on a minor league deal, so you're not taking really any risk there. He can basically be that. That's you spent less money there instead because you didn't get Rojas was going to cost you, in my mind, around the same as what you're paying Michael Lorenzen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I view it as, hey, once they knew they couldn't get Rojas, they said, all right, we'll take the minor league deal on Kevin Biggio.
That's the Adam Frazier level player.
And so we save money there. Instead, we'll bring in Michael Lorenzen because we're not spending the money on Rojas. That's kind of how I took it. There's clearly a limitation on clearly a limitation on the payroll. If you think about some other names that are out there, and yet they still went out and just signed these two individuals.
I would think that if you were assuming that they still got $120 million rolling around for Santander, they don't. Like, I could be misreading it. I'm kind of with you on that.
It has to be a trade. If there's going to be any type of move that's going to, it would have to be a trade to go acquire somebody and giving up assets like we've discussed, whether that involves a Garcia or a Massey or Melendez or somebody.
I just think something else is happening.
Yeah.
I don't think you sign Kevin Bijou, who I get it, to a minor league deal, who technically doesn't have to be on your major league roster, but reeks of the most Adam Frazier replacement of all time.
That's fine. That's
as
fine.
In, like, he's a better on-base guy, so I like it already. I like it more than Adam Frazier immediately. And Kevin Biggio's peak has shown a couple of times in his major league career to be, like, an average major league baseball player. So, like, when you start figuring out the math on it, you're like, you still have one too many infielders, and you need one more pitcher, and you need one more outfielder. So I am to assume at this point one of their infielders is still going to be gone, and that they will add another outfielder based on that. But the Michael Lorenzen deal is the exact type of move, I think, kind of highlights what I think J.J. Piccolo's done best. I don't want to make too much of a deal about a $1 for $7 million deal. But these are the type of deals that he does best, in which, since he's been the general manager, he operates under one simple philosophy: is we are never, after a couple of years ago, we are never going to be way too light on pitching, because that's how we become a laughing stock. If Kyle Wright doesn't work out, here's Lorenzen. If Alec Marsh doesn't work in the five spot, here's Lorenzen. If we're not sure about Bubic, here's Lorenzen. Yeah. And so he just offers you, and they have other AAA players who are probably bordering on the beginning of major league careers, who maybe could be other options. They want to be 10 deep in the starting rotation, and to sign a $1 for $7 million player is perfect, because if not, well, then he's a long reliever type.
Yeah, he's a swing
him Andrew
starter.
Miller or whatever, right? Use him how you want to use him, but at least he gives you safety.
Yeah, he's basically like a swing starter. He could be your fifth starter. If he ends up in the bullpen, that's fine. I mean, small sample size, but in 28 and two-thirds of an inning with the Royals, he had a 1.5 ERA. I mean, so he was effective when he was acquired by the Royals. Also got hurt in the middle of that as well for a brief period of time. But he pitched well for the Royals. So I don't know why. I mean, it makes a lot of sense for what they're trying to do with the rotation, knowing that a year ago they were so healthy in the rotation. So, like, I mean, I would love for it to happen again, but the chances of them being as healthy as they were in 2024 rotation-wise and also replicating that in 2025 is pretty unlikely. Now, hopefully if somebody gets hurt, it's a quick IL stint and it's nothing that's going to be a long-term injury, but there's a good chance that one or two of these guys in the staff are going to miss some starts. And last year was basically like Michael Wacha for a brief stint on the IL. Other than that, you know, it was unbelievably healthy. That's usually not how it goes. I know it's not even jinxing anything. It's just the reality of we know how this usually plays out. So that's why you also need to have some other options just in case.
Yeah. I like both the moves. They're just like, they're filler moves, but I don't want to downplay them as in they mean nothing for the Royals, because I do think that they set up some other stuff they're capable of doing. But they're probably at the tail end of their major spending. I think the kind of player that they will eventually trade for is going to be a cost control player. They gave up a cost control player in Brady Singer. I think they'll be looking for a cost control player to add back into this roster, whether that be Taylor Ward or some of these other guys that have a year or two or these other things. You heard Vinny at the beginning, like, arbitration stuff will catch up with you, especially if your team starts to play well and other players perform well, then you got to start doing these other deals. By the way, would you give Brent Rooker's deal to Vinny? I should have asked him if he'd take Brent Rooker's deal. 4 for $60?
How many years did Brent Rooker have left of control? What's his age and all that? I don't have any of that in front of me.
I mean, he's probably really close in age. They were in... I should have asked him. I know that they're friends and that they live close together. They were both in the Royals organization in 2022.
Rooker's 30.
But I don't Rooker's know. 30. Vinny's like 27. Yeah, so a few years different.
So that's why, if you're asking the question, like, I got to know. The age is a big factor. I got more years of control still. So I don't know.
5 for $60. I probably wouldn't take that if I were Vinny. I'd be looking for a little more.
75?
I always thought, like,
I'm the Royals. I got how many more years of control, too, though?
Vinny? Several. That might also change.
I'm not trying to. I hope our guy gets his contract. I'm just saying. You're asking me the question.
No, I want him to get. This is like the incentive thing for Mike Evans.
You're asking me the question. I just think if you're the Royals, you got multiple years of control still.
As I've said before, it's like overpaying them does not stop them from being successful.
Top of the text line. Sorry. Unrelated. It involves numbers, though, if that's fair. That's related. 913-586-7965. You can watch the show on... You can watch the show on video. Facebook, Twitch, Twitter. I'm laughing because someone... Cody's wearing a gray sweatshirt that says 1969.
Which I think is the year Gap was founded or whatever the sweatshirt's from.
I'm sure. Text line. Mm-hmm. Why are you owning a shirt with 69 on it, Cody? Are you 13? Actually, I think the person observing it is more likely to be the 13-year-old.
If you're just like 69, ha-ha, then, and it, again, if it was on its own, maybe they'd be different.
It is interesting, though, because all it says on the hoodie or the sweater is just 1960. Like, hell, was that a great year? Summer of 69? Like,
guessing what's when their company was founded. Yeah. I don't know.
There's a lot of cars that are that are like 69 Camaro, 69 Chevelle, 69 Mustang. Like, those are
Cody's just a big Brian. Cody's just a big Brian Adams fan. He likes Summer of 69. That's all it is. All right, up next, though, somebody's done with their current situation. They want out, and it's pretty funny to look back at. Next.